call Monday to September 30th. Committee to hold order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Accused.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise during the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For the citizens in the audience, since this is a committee to hold, we do not have a citizen comment period, and Alderman Mayer has joined us at 6:31. The first thing I want to say is normally I do not participate in this meeting, but I had some conversations, and not sitting in the middle chair refereeing put Alderman Dandria or whoever the council president in a position where they would not be able to make motions and that kind of thing. So I'm just going to be the referee tonight. So with that said, we move on to item B, a review of the mayor's recommended 2020 budget. Mr. Liberta.
We have no further specific presentations planned tonight. We put you through a very lengthy one at the prior common council meeting where we distributed your budget binders to you. The only thing specifically that I have to add tonight, I have put before you at your desk a memo that addresses two items that motions I would suggest be included. As I talked about in the budget presentation, we do have some general fund balance support for separation costs so that the departments in those positions don't have vacancies during the period that we're paying out those separation costs for individuals. That was for primarily productivity purposes. And we provided that a discussion of it at the meeting. I believe the finance director passed out an email that identified the positions and departments involved. And since that time, we've identified one other one that we fully expect to occur, which would be in the custodial area. I've identified about 13,000, and that could occur right in the middle of winter. That's our one full-time custodial position. Would really impact snow shoveling for library, police department, and city hall. Probably wouldn't be able to get through it. So I would encourage that one be added, the motions added at the top. And with that motion and any other ones that may increase the total expenditure, there's a second motion there that's just to allow the finance director to, at the end, when you've made your final motions and decided what budget to move forward to the public hearing, to allow the Director of Finance and Treasurer to adjust the general fund restricted contingency as necessary and appropriate. So we preserve the emergency appropriation we need, but don't put at risk our expenditure restraint program funding. And so that's just sort of an accounting cleanup, but we would need that motion and authority from you to be able to do that. So I'd recommend those two motions at some point this evening. But other than that, we turn it over to you for questions, however you would like to proceed through the budget document.
So if you'd like, you go department by department, or you just want to, okay. Okay, let's turn to page 79 then. The mayor's budget, the alderman's budget, the clerk, etc. Any questions on the mayor, alderman, any of the departments in section 3, that being actually the departmental budgets? Actually, administrative department budget.
General government.
Yep. IT budget, mayor, alderman. We've got administration, human resources. Mark just addressed an issue there. And there's the financials, assessor's office, and the assessor's contract, municipal buildings, non-capital items, insurance fund, health insurance fund, and that's it for that. Mr. Burr?
Well, since it's insurance, but it's self-insurance fund, but I will mention it because it involves the work of human resources. And there was a comment or question about it at the budget presentation. Relative to the health insurance proposal that we would bring through personnel committee and back to the council for consideration, the budget document refers to anticipating a reduction in the high deductible health plan's maximum out of pocket from $12,000 down to, I believe, $9,000, similar with the PPO. Question was, what sort of impact would that be? We did have the actuary and the for the health and our health insurance advisors and the advisors themselves looked at that and anticipate an impact within that plan of potentially 1 to 3%, leaning towards more like the 1% on claims costs. So that makes it in the neighborhood of around a potential cost driver of only about $23,000 in the health insurance fund, which it would be able to absorb that based upon what we've provided you. Second thing we did is we've continued to try and work on what the shape that plan could take. I think we've found a better way to sort of have that money for the employer contribution serve its purpose. We said increasing it to $3,000, but if we're trying to use it to provide some stability for existing employees and as a driver for new employees, actually using that stretched out over a period of the next 2 years, but still have $1,500 as of January 1st, and then if you join and are in that plan, then there would be a commitment to $750 each 6 months. So instead of $3,000 in this year or in 2020, it would be $2,250, but then there would be a commitment to another $1,500 next year, being 2021. That's a small addition in 2021 of only $750, but by having that two-year commitment, and the only way to be guaranteed that is if they join in the coming year, it will help be that driver for existing employees, but it will, by showing the two-year commitment, it will help provide a little better stability for new employees coming in. So it actually brings down this cost. We wouldn't recommend changing the budget for that because those funds will be needed in 2021. We're just stretching it out. And I'm looking to anticipate building that into a sort of a policy statement that we'll take to personnel for discussions and bring back to you. But the net contribution for this year would actually go down from the $3,000 I mentioned at the budget presentation to $2,250 if personnel agrees with the approach and the logic. But we've spent a fair amount of extra time trying to find the best way to have that a longer-term impact.
Alderman Dandre.
Mr. Liberta, how does this compare to our peer cities?
I need to do more, more work on that. But what we recognized, and part of the thing we talked about at the presentation in the middle of the year, is that we had some, I'll call it anecdotal evidence, that we were having some issues with retention and new employee acquisition, some people who are just declining with an indication that it was based on our insurance. So we were trying to improve our position. Now that we haven't, sort of pinned down even better where we want to go, I intend to take the next couple weeks and look at some of those comparables we expected to be gaining ground on us, see where they are, and have that available for personnel and then for the council when it comes back before you.
You mentioned new enrollees, but everybody's a new enrollee every year, correct?
By new enrollee, I meant new employees. When we have a vacancy and we fill it, for example, in the building inspection area, we had people we thought were on the line to become employees who, when they got down to the nitty-gritty of looking at the benefit structure, decided not to do it. And so that was one of the issues we talked about early in the year, trying to address. And we're trying to do it in a restrained manner so we get closer. We don't want to totally undo the progress we had, but we're trying to make sure we haven't that we sort of find the middle ground between where we found ourselves in the marketplace and a better position for new employees.
So are all employees at the beginning of the year, do they receive the stipend?
Only if they're for this year, 2019,
if they participate in
the high deductible plan.
Okay.
And then for, like I said, to be clear, for the two-year commitment, you have to join in 2020 to have a commitment to that contribution in 2021 as well, as I believe what we'll be proposing.
And do they also go through a health screening mid-year?
We do them in October, and if it is at the option of the employee, if you choose to participate, you do see a reduction in the employee portion of health insurance premium, which amounts to, I think this year was 14 or 14.5%, but you'll set that when you set the plan, but we try and have it be about a 5% difference in your employee contribution if you participate, you and your spouse, if you have a family plan, participate in the health risk assessment, which is a blood draw that we pay for with a full blood screen, lipid panel, the whole works.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else in the operating budgets for those departments? Alderman Rotzenberg.
Mr. Mayor, staff would request that the council make the first additional separation cost motion because it does relate to the general government departments at this time.
That's the one from tonight's memo?
The September 30th, two motions for 2020 budget consideration the Director of Administration, the first motion that's mentioned there.
Yes. I'll make that motion.
Question of the motion, which is, I move to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2020 budget by increasing the Municipal Buildings Department Personnel Services Appropriations by $13,000 in order to eliminate the separation vacancy in the event of a retirement. It's been moved and seconded. Alderman Taylor.
Where does the money come from then? I mean, this is now, we just found this since the budget came out, so where is this money? I mean, this is new money you're asking for?
All of those other separation costs were all intended to come from general fund balance.
Okay.
And so I was just including this in that same category. So it would add the expense and simply reduce the fund balance scheduled at the end of the year.
Okay.
Anyone else? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Rotzenberg.
By way of clarification for the discussion that on the motion that was just passed, should the second motion be adopted by the Common Council that was recommended by the Department of Administration, then the Finance Department would adjust the expenditure restraint contingency adjustment by the amount that was approved in the or recommended and adopted in the previous motion.
So this might be a good time to approve that second one so that any other adjustments, you know that that's already addressed. Because my since this first motion does cause that need to happen, you might as well address that one at the second motion.
Second.
Okay. The motion is to move tentatively to amend the mayor's recommended 2020 budget by authorizing Director of Finance and Treasurer to adjust the general fund restricted contingency as necessary and appropriate to preserve these emergency appropriations without sacrificing our expenditure restraint funding. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's move on to the police and fire operating budgets, starting on page 136. Alderman Taylor.
All right, I'm going to pass out a motion. If I could ask the two chiefs to step up to the table. This goes off of the conversation we had when the budget was presented. We obviously have a large chunk of money that we have in just a general public safety department account listed as personnel cost. And like I said at the council meeting, I guess I have an issue with just saying here's a chunk of money, we'll determine it later how we're going to spend it. And so at that meeting, if you recall, I asked both chiefs, you know, I think it's better for them to come up with a plan, present it to us, compared to us sitting up here and trying to hash it out. So last week I met with both the police chief and the fire chief at the same time, had the conversation regarding their need for public safety, to go along with the fact that I think we all up here know that the director of administration has a lot on his plate. And you can see just this year between fire notification system, the gun range, we have nothing in front of us here yet on park impact fees, the city hall remodeling, the HVAC, labor contracts. I mean, we can go on the amount of issues that, kind of get bottlenecked in his office. And, that's not fair to us. It's not fair to the taxpayers, our residents. And frankly, it's frustrating that at times it moves very, very slow. So what this includes, and I'll let the two chiefs and Mark, we can have the conversation here, is it adds one patrol officer, one battalion chief, and also adds one support position to Mark's office. And he can talk a little bit more about that. I know the mayor was at Marquette University last week and kind of was poking around a little bit on, you were there for unrelated city business, but you asked some questions. And then also between Mark and the police chief, they can talk about the item three, which is in police department personnel costs to address compression and restructuring and that. So I'll turn it over to you two first and then Mark.
Well, Chief Oliva is going to ask for more money to replace the radio he just dropped. So, anyway, Chief Oliva.
I guess you want some explanation why you want another body, and give you some general stats. You probably heard some of this already, but some of this stuff really hasn't changed. Generally speaking, we have not increased our patrol staffing since 2001. We did add one officer since then. That basically is our school resource officer. So the patrol force has not been increased since then, and the population has increased like 20% since that time.
Page 138.
As you know, I did ask for and was approved to take a patrol position at the beginning of this year and make a detective position. That's where I needed that position the most. In the Detective Bureau, and it was very good timing because right about the time we had a double homicide here. But that's worked out well, and that's taken care of my issue with the Detective Bureau, but obviously you created another vacancy in the patrol division. So that's what I'm looking to do basically is replace that position that required me to adjust some services, cut back on some services. I'd like to get back basically to even with adding this position. Again, some general stats. We are at about 1.69 officers per 1,000 residents. That is on the very, very low end. It's lower than the state average, which is 2.2, and Milwaukee County is 3.1 officers per 1,000 residents. So we are on the very bottom of that. We had been actually fourth in that list, but since that time, South Milwaukee added two officers, Oak Creek added three, and Greenfield added five. So they passed us up. So we're on the bottom. We also are on the bottom of expenditures, officers per capita in the state and comparatively in the county. So probably reflective of the fact that we're also lowest on the officers per capita. That's why we're lowest in spending, but it's connected. So generally speaking, we are in the low end. I don't think we're asking for an excessive amount of officers. Last year I was asking for three. I think we could use three, definitely have room for them, but I understand that there wasn't a political will for that in the community. I respect that, but I certainly could use the one position at this time. There's plenty of work for that officer to do. One of the probably the biggest complaints we have here in the city, general complaints, is the traffic speeding and traffic violations. It's a constant problem, constant issue, and we're fighting fires all day long. About every person thinks that the only place people speed is in front of their house or on their block. So we're constantly going from subdivision to subdivision, area to area. There's over 170 local miles, another 37 county and state miles, over 200 miles of roads in the city, and it's tough to cover. So we need all the patrol officers we can. can go on, but I'll stop there for questions, I guess.
The staffing stats are on page 139, as well as the summary of the budget. Questions for the chief? Police chief. Alderman Dandridge.
Hey, Chief, I do recognize the need for it. Also, I do recognize, and I guess I want to say more so in regards to, you mentioned the referendum that we had that failed. But I think, but not that I think, I know that the results of that vote were the citizens did not want an increased tax to cover it. The good thing here is this is not an increased tax. We have the funds available, and we're judiciously using it properly to protect our citizens. And that's why the requests that we have coming are, you have my support. Okay? I recognize the importance here. I do see that narcotic arrests have doubled. I mean, granted, crimes against persons, properties, and stuff have kind of gone up in some areas, kind of went down in other areas.
I would caution you on the stats because we're transitioning to a new statistical analysis collection, and so we really got to take a look at those to, because you're kind of comparing apples and oranges, just as a caution. But in general, I can say that the crime volume has increased.
Okay. But I you do have my support here.
Thank you. And that's my understanding, too, of the referendum. You know, the public voted not to add three officers, mainly because they didn't want their taxes raised, and now we're asking for one, and apparently you're able to do that without raising taxes.
Correct.
Second the motion?
No motion.
Oh, there's no motion.
I haven't made it.
I second the...
I'll make it if you want.
I think
you just supported all the Taylors.
Get to it.
No. Oh, I thought you read that already.
No. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Chill. Alderman Nelson.
I second.
I'll wait for Chief Remington. I'm good with the police department.
Chief, go ahead.
Okay,
please.
So the possibility of adding just one person kind of forces us to look at how we get the best bang out of that person and how we find somebody that really moves the department forward rather than somebody maybe on the lower end that's just minimizing our overtime expenditure, but we're not really gaining anything operationally from that position.
Fire starts on page 157.
So... in doing this, I identified three possible strategies, and I'll explain each one of them to you and explain, hopefully convince you at the end, why restoring that battalion chief position. This was actually a position in our budget and was eliminated in 2007. I believe the department wanted to pursue another strategy to get more people on shift. I think we maybe hired one and then increased our overtime spending. I don't recall exactly what the plan was at that time, but so it is to restore a position that we previously had in charge of our EMS administration, operations, training, and all those functions. So one possible strategy was just, I think you all know that to hire one firefighter, we have three 24-hour battalions. You would need to hire three to increase by staffing by just one on a 24-hour basis. Even that does not get you full staffing because they have contractual time off for vacations, holidays, family leave, things like that. So adding one firefighter on a shift would get us staffed at three at Station 2, which that's better than two, obviously, but it doesn't put another unit in service. And again, with contractual time off, that's only 25% of the calendar that we would have that third person at Station 2. Another strategy we identified was to hire a flex schedule firefighter. This we actually worked to get in the contract a few years ago. And this would be our lowest seniority employee would basically not have a set schedule. They'd be bounced from shift to shift to minimize overtime expenditure on vacant shifts when people are off, like I said, for holidays, vacations, and other sick, injured, whatever it may be. As I kind of learn in my position moving forward, I don't know that that's the best strategy to take your youngest, most experienced personnel and not have a set shift for them with a set officer You're bouncing them around. There's no consistency. There's no opportunity to really mentor and form that relationship with their shifts that will let them grow. I don't think it's the best strategy as far as employee development in the long term. The third option was that administrative EMS chief that, again, was eliminated in 2007. This person stands to make the biggest improvement on the department, I think. When we lost that position, we lost some of our influence with the county EMS system. We used to send people to all these meetings. I've tried to continue to go. My workload is such that I can't be everywhere that I would like to be. So this position both gives us greater influence with other organizations within Milwaukee County, and it would also be a position that would be available to respond. They're there Monday through Friday. During business hours, that accounts, I'm guessing off the top of my head, between 65 and 70, possibly even more, percent of our call volume. So this one person would be available to respond during the periods that the vast majority of our calls come in. And part of this person's responsibility would be to train and perform quality improvement functions. Where better to do that than in the field under real conditions? I believe you have to be in the field to identify where your people might need more practice, what they might need more training on, what problems they're encountering that maybe they don't know how to solve, but we need to look internally at other ways to do that. The other thing is this position will have a positive impact on our overtime budget lines. We would be able to use this person to fill in when a battalion chief happens to be off anytime Monday through Friday. We would probably plug this person into the battalion chief car, and we would not have to then fill that, at least the first half of that shift. Maybe this person has meetings to attend, but maybe that allows myself or, you know, the assistant that we're looking to fill to cover those positions. So in previous estimates, it's been between a $30,000 and $40,000 offset in our overtime budget. That's probably better than just the one firefighter on a set shift. It probably doesn't get us as much offset as that flex firefighter, but I talked about why I don't think that's the best use of that position. So I guess if there's any questions, I know we talk about the need for staffing and boots on the ground. That one position is a step in the right direction, but it's a real small step. And if this person can be there during the periods when the vast majority of our calls come in and provide guidance, supervision, and better accountability, I think it's safer for our guys, and I think it's a way we can improve and move forward as a department.
Are you going to EMS council tomorrow?
Probably not.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. So when I met with Adam and Rick, you know, at last week, I said, listen, you know, you guys tell me what you want. It's your department. You're the experts in it. And so whatever, you know, work out the numbers with Mark, and then Mark, you know, basically sent me an email. I want to say like 11 o'clock at night on Friday.
Yep.
Called me like at 8:30 saying, I'm getting it to you yet tonight, you know. So when I looked at it on Saturday and then we talked on Sunday, the first thing I was thinking, I'm like, well, this is what we're doing, you know. Like, I'm not saying no without talking to you.
Right.
I said, I'm not saying no. That's what I told Mark, too, on Sunday afternoon. But I'm not saying yes because I need to hear why. And this morning you explained to me exactly what you just did to the rest of the common council and why that position makes more sense and the reasons for it. So that's just, you know, kind of a little bit of background on it.
Anyone else? You'll notice I'm not chiming in on purpose. Alderman Mayer.
Over the last 2 weeks since we got the budget, I have not had the opportunity to meet with either one of the chiefs in that two-week period. I would like to still meet with you guys before I make a commitment. I think we're early in the process yet. There are some things in here that I like. I'm not sure that I like all of them yet, so I want to hold off my vote until I get a chance to talk to you guys, discuss it further.
Alderman Nelson.
Chief Remington, so I understand how you've explained it. It makes sense on from the top end. But, and I understand you're saying it might have a 25% impact. I mean, you know your department, you know your budget. I'm a novice. But just looking at it from somewhere where you can get a firefighter to go in a group to use right away. And I definitely don't agree with making them the flex because they are going to be lost.
Right.
It's going to be bad. We may lose them and have retention issues, and that's a whole other issue. But so you've really, and I don't want to, I mean, obviously I know the answer is yes, but I mean, so you've really looked at it because I would have thought that getting that one firefighter in the budget right now to hit the group, even though it's only that one group.
It's only one group. So right off the bat, it's only a third of our shifts. And again, with the contractual time off that they have, that drops to 25% of the time that person's there. The other part, and there is some overtime offset to that because that group or that shift has one more person. So right. If one more person calls in sick, then we can go further down and we don't have to fill that. So there is some sort of overtime offset. I would say that is probably, if we're looking at all three of these, that is probably the least overtime offset would be for that strategy. The other, a third person at Station 3, obviously three is better than two, but it doesn't put another rig on the road. It doesn't put another apparatus into the mix and let us go deeper down into our back-to-back calls before we need to call another department.
One point of order with this is, so let's say, for example, you have the fully staffed area right now, all three groups, but now you have one retiree. You could put this one in that spot, and now you're still at even. So, I mean, are you looking at that, too? And do you have any – I mean, are you fully staffed right now, or that's not an issue?
Because Chief, I would pull your microphone towards you.
We do have vacancies currently due to assistant chief retiring, and then I had a lieutenant retire. So we are not fully staffed at this point. That gets filled, obviously, by overtime and straight time. Sometimes we have to mandate people to work. It's not ideal, but I guess I'm not sure exactly what you're...
Well, my point is, okay, so if we put this person as a firefighter right now, I understand there's three groups, but you apparently have holes in those groups, and you may have more starting in January. I mean, so this way you know that right now you could fill a hole and eliminate something with overtime or fill some void opposed to creating another administrative position.
I just think we get a bigger overtime offset due to part of the problem is that the BCs generate much of the overtime and they also take up much of the overtime. We had an agreement with the bargaining unit, a compromise a few years back that took the battalion chiefs out of the vacation and holiday schedule picking. But part of that compromise was they're kind of on their own and they can be that fourth person off. So a lot of times that fourth person off is that's when we're filling the position, whether it's the battalion chief took off or somebody called in sick. This would minimize that to a significant degree and probably get us more, like I said, than one person on one shift as far as overtime compensation.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else for the chiefs? Okay, you'll have a motion later.
Well, no, yeah, now, so we're going to wait to go to Mark, or when we get to Mark later on, like the issue on number three?
Well, that's a wide open issue, but we should probably wait until we get to...
Is?
Yeah. I'm just thinking.
That's fine. Sure, we can keep it in order.
Okay. Also in this area is inspection services. Any questions for the building inspector? I'm sorry. The Department of Inspection Services Director. I got to learn to do that.